भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 15, entitled The Descendants of King Priyavrata. We're starting a new chapter, so we'll read the chapter summary first. The glories of the descendants of King Priyavrata. In this chapter, the descendants of Bharat Maharaj and many other kings are described. The son of Maharaj Bharat was named Sumati. He followed the path of liberation given by Rishabhdev. Some people mistakenly thought Sumati to be the direct incarnation of Lord Buddha. The son of Sumati was Devatajit, and his son was Devadyumna. Devadyumna's son was Parameshti, and his son was Pratiha. Pratiha was a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu, and he had three sons named Pratiharta, Prashtota, and Udgata. Pratiharta had two sons, Aja and Bhuma. The son of Bhuma was Udgita, and the son of Udgita was Prashtava. The son of Prashtava was Vibhu, and the son of Vibhu was Prithusena, whose son was Nakta. The wife of Nakta, Druti, gave birth to Gaya, who was a very famous and saintly king. Actually, King Gaya was a partial incarnation of Lord Vishnu. And because of his great devotion to Lord Vishnu, he received the title Mahapurusha. King Gaya had sons named Chitrarata, Sumati, and Avarodhana. The son of Chitrarata was the emperor Samrat, and his son was Marichi, whose son was Bindu. Bindu's son was Madhu, and Madhu's son was Viravrata. Viravrata's two sons were Mantu and Pramantu, and the son of Mantu was Bhovana. The son of Bhovana was Twasta, and the son of Twasta was Viraja, who glorified the whole dynasty. Viraja had 100 sons and one daughter. Of these, the son named Sadajit was very famous. So one might ask, why do we have all this genealogy? And that is simply that the Bhagavatam is a very authoritative, and its information is exact. It's not based on speculation that this knowledge and this culture is recently concocted or there's some other intent other than presenting pure Vedic culture and accurate history. So a lot of these names will be clarified later on in the verses and in Srila Prabhupada's purports. So, text number one. And again, it's a prose verse, so I'll just read it and go on to the translation and purport. Sri Shuka Uvacha Bhartarasya Maja Sumatir Nama Vihito Yam Uhavava Kechit Pakandina Rishabha Padavim Anuvartamanam Vanarya Aveda Samanatam Devatam Swamanishaya Prapiyasya Kalo Kalya Piyashanti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the son of Maharaj Bharat, known as Sumati, followed the path of Rishabhdev. But some unscrupulous people imagined him to be Lord Buddha himself. These people, who were actually atheistic and of bad character, took up the Vedic principles in an imaginary, infamous way to support their activities. Thus, these sinful people accepted Sumati as Lord Buddhadev and propagated the theory that everyone should follow the principles of Sumati. In this way, they were carried away by mental concoction. Purport. Those who are Aryans strictly follow the Vedic principles. But in this age of Kali, a community has sprung up known as the Arya Samaj, which is ignorant of the import of the Vedas in the Parampara system. Their leaders decry all bona fide acharyas, and they pose themselves as the real followers of the Vedic principles. These acharyas who do not follow the Vedic principles are presently known as the Arya Samajas, or the Jains. Not only do they not follow the Vedic principles, but they have no relationship with Lord Buddha. Imitating the behavior of Sumati, they claim to be the descendants of Rishabhdev. Those who are Vaishnavas carefully avoid their company because they are ignorant of the path of the Vedas. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna says, Vedaischa sarve aham eva veja. The real purpose of the Vedas is to understand me. This is the injunction of all Vedic literatures. One who does not know the greatness of Lord Krishna cannot be accepted as an Aryan. Lord Buddha, an incarnation of Lord Krishna, adopted a particular means to propagate the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma. He preached almost exclusively among atheists. Atheists do not want any god, and Lord Buddha therefore said that there is no god. But he adopted the means to instruct his followers for their benefit. Therefore, he preached in a duplicitous way, saying that there is no God. Nonetheless, he himself was an incarnation of God. Om Jnana Tamirandasya Giranjana Shalakya Chakshyam Vitam Jena Tasmai Sigura Venma Sichitanya Manobi Samstavitam Jena Bhutale Swam Rupadama and Badati Shavadantikam Kam Kuro Deva Chalam Pangam Langayate Grimyat Kipadam and De Sigurum Dina Tarinum. Translation again. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, the son of Maharaj Bharat, known as Sumati, followed the path of Rishabhdev. But some unscrupulous people imagined him to be Lord Buddha himself. These people, who were actually atheistic and of bad character, took up the Vedic principles in an imaginary, infamous way to support their activities. Thus, these sinful people accepted Sumati as Lord Buddhadev and propagated the theory that everyone should follow the principles of Sumati. In this way, they were carried away by mental concoction. So, Srila Prabhupada points out here that those who are Aryans strictly follow the Vedic principles. This word Aryan, we know, has become a bit infamous in recent history. But the real understanding Srila Prabhupada gives in the Bhagavad Gita, wherein he states that the Aryans are people who know the value of life, and their civilization is based on spiritual realization, and they follow scriptural injunctions. This is important, and not that we just put a label on something, which is sometimes a tendency that real advanced society, or those who know the progressive values of life, live in a civilized society. And that civilized society means to be based on spiritual realization. not that by some mental concoction we can act in a certain way or adopt a certain name or label and it becomes that. No, there has to be, just like nowadays they have this thing called Facebook. And I was talking to someone yesterday and they were explaining to me how it works. And apparently it's really, the bottom line is that people are trying to put on a certain image. Put on a certain face. when actually they're not that. It's very easy to put on a face as long as you don't have to actually meet that person. So the tendency in society, in the modern society, is that one wants to create some sort of image for oneself. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that this is not a very intelligent idea. Actually, this is the tendency of those who are materialistic or in the highest sense demoniac. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janata vidura asura. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are of these lower characters, lower tendencies, na saucham, neither cleanliness, certainly their people have no idea what cleanliness means these days. If you just splash on some perfume in the morning, or if you use some mouthwash, then that's enough. And then you can go about doing all sorts of nefarious things. There's no sense of cleanliness. Cleanliness, we understand in Vedic culture, means not only externally, where one bathes regularly and rises regularly and engages in spiritual work, just as we have in our Krishna conscious temples. The devotees are rising early, they're taking bath and purifying themselves with clean cloth and spiritual work, but also internally by chanting the Lord's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Not just externally, but also internally, keeping clean. Napi cha cha ro. They're also very exemplary in their activities. It's not that we put on one image and then do something else, just like this idea of Facebook, where you can put on a certain facade, but you can hide your activities. So one has to be clean and one has to be exemplary in one's activities, one's conduct. Nasyatam, that one also has to be truthful. So that is actual Aryan culture, those who are following Vedic principles. Again, not that we just put some label on it, but one has to actually be conducting oneself properly according to scriptural injunction. Again, not that we sort of concoct some idea, just as here in the verse, we're hearing how some unscrupulous followers, those who were actually atheistic and of bad character, took up the Vedic principles in an imaginary, infamous way to support their activities. It's not that we practice Krishna consciousness to support our bad habits, but we practice Krishna consciousness to get rid of those bad habits. And that means, the Bhagavatam explains, that means hearing from a bona fide source. Tam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja. Lord Brahma explains that the devotees they see the Lord through their ears by the process of bona fide hearing, just as we were hearing yesterday. And as Srila Prabhupada was explaining on Sunday, that it's paramount, necessary, that one hear from a bona fide source. So the devotees, they hear, or they see, I'm sorry, they see by hearing from a bona fide source. And by that hearing process, the heart becomes cleansed, just as Lord Chaitanya explains, Chitta Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadeva Agni Nirvapanam, that this process of Krishna consciousness, it cleans that bhava roha, that desire for material enjoyment from the heart. And when that happens, the Lord takes his seat there. Ase Sru Tekshita Pato Nanunata Pungsang. The Lord, he takes his seat there within the heart when it's sufficiently purified and clean. Just as in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the wonderful pastime of Gundicha Temple, wherein the Lord shows by example how one should clean. And when it's been cleaned, you go back again and you see what more you can find. And invariably you find it time and time again. The process never stops, that we've reached some apex and now we just sort of cruise along. No, it means that one has to continuously clean. And when that setting is clean and proper, the Lord takes his seat there. But those who are, again, motivated or imitating, in due course, as Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, they expose themselves for what they are. Neither do they accept the bona fide authorities. As Srila Prabhupada points out here, these acharyas who do not follow the Vedic principles, they pose themselves as real followers and they decry all bona fide acharyas. So the process of Krishna consciousness means to follow a bona fide authority, to hear from bona fide sources. And when that happens, the heart becomes purified and the practitioner becomes enlivened. Aho bhata svapacho tu gariyan. The Bhagavatam also explains that how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting the holy names of the Lord. There's a process for after that purification. And that means, the process also is chanting simultaneous. It's the ends and the means. And those who engage in that process of bona fide practice, the bona fide execution of Krishna consciousness, they become glorious. It's a rare thing, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante, that it's a rare thing that someone takes up the process of chanting. That takes up the real import of Vedic philosophy to be engaged in devotional service. Yes, jivagre. What is that? Yes, jivagre. Vartata nama tubhyam. Right. That they, by the process of this devotional service, all of the terrible things within the heart are purified, but it's understood that such persons are, even if they're coming from some low birth, dog eaters is described, they're considered glorious and worshipable. So the process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful when it's executed properly that even the most fallen personalities can be accepted as glorious. Kirata huninda pulunda pulkasha. It's by the mercy of the Vaishnavas that even the most unqualified persons who are full of all sorts of dirty things can also become qualified. It's understood, actually, that if one engages in this process of Krishna consciousness, particularly this chanting, that such a person must have undergone all sorts of his bypass, or must have already performed all sorts of tepustapaste, duhuvu, shashnur. They've already performed all sorts of austerities. It's not it's a rare thing. It's not a cheap thing that one can take up the process of Krishna consciousness. It's understood that that person has already performed all sorts of austerities and also juhuvu, sacrifices, fire sacrifices, brahmano uchur. They've also studied the Vedic literatures. They've understood the import of it all. Simply by engaging in this process of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. So it's a rare thing. It's not. It can't be estimated what great fortune someone may have that they've been given this opportunity of Krishna consciousness. We can't take it lightly because, again, in the material world, everyone is they're being bombarded by so many miserable conditions. That there's no way out. There's no relief. But Krishna consciousness is that nectar. Tavagatamritam tapta jivanam. It is the nectar for those who are suffering within this miserable material world. And who can say that they're not being afflicted to some degree? Everyone is, without a doubt. But this process of Krishna consciousness is so nice that even the most difficult situation, simply by hearing the wonderful pastimes and the wonderful words of the Lord, it eradicates all of these sinful things and miserable conditions which are there within the heart. And one experiences a real happiness. But it doesn't end there, that we just keep it for ourselves, as Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, that Lord Buddha came and adopted a particular means to propagate the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma. He preached almost exclusively among atheists, just as, practically speaking, we're surrounded by atheists and agnostics. So to go out and preach to them, one has to adopt certain means, as Prabhupada points out here, that Lord Buddha also adopted the means to instruct his followers for their benefit. So sometimes we have to adopt various means to present Krishna consciousness to the general mass of people, following in this example. Not that we're so expert that we can, as the Supreme Personality of God himself did here, he preached in a duplicitous way. Not that we're recommending that, but one has to be expert in presenting Vedic philosophy in such a way that even the most fallen persons can appreciate it. So, again, it's not that once coming to Krishna consciousness we're satisfied, we can do whatever. No, one has to conduct oneself properly, but then be also willing to distribute it and share it with, by whatever means one can adopt, within, you know, reason, of course. As Srila Prabhupada, by his own example, showed that he was able to create a movement, an opportunity for anyone and everyone to appreciate Krishna consciousness by his books, by his prasadam distribution, by chanting holy names. All of these wonderful activities, deity worship, they're all there as a means to attract the conditioned souls, those who may be on the fence, or maybe those who are even opposed, appreciating in some way, so that in the future they may benefit. So this is a very interesting verse, in that one has to be careful to follow the bona fide authorities and be careful of those who are taking the Vedic philosophy and creating it for their own purpose with some other intent. This is not the... certainly there is no success in that. And are there any questions or comments? Yes, Manager. Yeah, that's an example here. Srila Prabhupada points out that one is adopting means to give benefit, not only for oneself but for others. So that's there is a utility to it. That's for sure. There is a utility for the Facebook. If it's used in a nice Krishna conscious way, it can be utilized. Without a doubt. Any other questions or comments? Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Huh?